Rise and shine! It's a great day in the North Woods!
Welcome back to episode 20 of the Camp Voyager podcast. I'm Alex Quanley, and on this show, I chat with Voyager alumnus Ned Brandt as he recounts his fondest memories of attending camp in the 1980s.
But yeah, so I just moved recently, and I found a bunch of old pictures that I took when I was going to camp.
Oh, really?
It was when I was in either cabin one or cabin three. And so, yeah, I was young back then, and Charlie Erdman was in my cabin. And so I've got a picture of him from back in the day. And I was like, oh, man, I forgot about that.
Well, you know what we call him now? Turbo.
Charles. What?
Turbo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He talks fast and moves fast.
He always has. Always.
So how long were you at camp for?
I know I did. I was in cabin one time, and then cabin three, and then cabin nine. So like I'd taken a couple years off. So I think the last time I went was in 90.
Got it.
I know the first two times I lived in North Carolina, and then we were moving to Virginia. So it was like 87 and 88. And then I want to say like 90, maybe 91. Yeah, I think 91 was the last year I was there. Because I was 15 in 91. There were a lot of really good memories, though. You know, like doing stuff I'd never done before. Like I'd never been water skiing or kneeboarding. And to this day, I still can't pull myself up on a dang kneeboard. But, you know, and just like I was in Boy Scouts for a little bit. And so like I'd been camping with scouts, but it was nothing like the Boundary Waters. And, you know, until going up there, I think that was the farthest north I'd ever been at that point. You know, so I didn't understand, you know, mosquitoes. Like y'all do. No, my great grandmother lived in Ely, and actually my uncle was like the town doctor in Ely, and I think he delivered Charlie. And so that's like how we met the camp and met the Erdmans and whatnot. And I was going up there to see my uncle and my great grandmother, and he's like, "You got to check this camp out." And so we like drove over there just on a whim, and I was like, "Oh my Lord, this place is amazing!" And you know, and then once I finally got to camp and experienced deer flies, and that was a different story. But
yeah, that tends to put a little damper on the first impressions for sure.
Yeah, you know, it was. Yeah, for me, it was just life experience. You know, it was something new, something different. I remember one time we went on an activity into town listening for packs of wolves, you know, howling. And I remember I had these glow-in-the-dark Converse. Yeah, like literally they glowed in the dark. And you know, I'm sitting here walking around like, what the heck? And forget who was on that one. I don't think Coach went on that one. I don't remember a lot of Coach, but I remember he just always had a huge smile on his face, always in a DePaul shirt, and always going on and on about hardtack crackers. Like that was like his thing. He's like, if you're going camping, you need some Gorp and you need some hardtack.
Why hardtack? Isn't that just flour and water?
They stuck with you. Yeah, it's like Bisquick Surprise. Yeah, we're getting ready to go camping. He's like, oh, I'll just take some Bisquick Surprise with you. I'm like, what on earth is that? He's like, well, you take some Bisquick, you mix it up, and you put whatever you can find in it, and surprise, you've got breakfast.
I've heard a few coach stories over the years. I hadn't heard that one. His grandson actually was a counselor here this past
Oh,
summer.
nice.
Charlie, yeah.
So there was one thing that was really funny when I first got to camp. Of course, nobody had cell phones back then, but they're going through taking, Walkman. If someone was silly enough to bring a Game Boy, going through
Contraband.
making, going through all the contraband checks. And there was a pair of brothers that used to go there, Jack and Jeff Lockhart. I don't know them well. I went to camp with them a couple of times, but Jeff the or Jack the older brother, he was a camper of legend because he'd been at camp long enough to know about the contraband ban, and so he had a trunk that he packed all his stuff in, and he put a false bottom in it and lined it with candy. And I think it was Coach who found it. And this happened like a year before I was a camper. And so yeah, for that next session, they're all, oh yep, there goes old Jack, false bottom Lockhart. And that was something that has stuck with me for 30 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is just too much.
That's a pretty serious love of, was it candy?
Yeah, but I mean, simple pleasures back then. We didn't have all the instant gratification that we've got right now, so definitely puts a different perspective on things.
Well, you had Gorp and Hardtack. I mean, what more could you want?
True, hardtack is life, according to some, I suppose.
Now, did you guys do hiking trips back then, or was it canoeing?
We pretty much only did canoe trips. At least from what I remember. I know we had the Camp Olympics have been going on forever. So we did that. I'm sure the leaderboards for the biggest walleye and the biggest pike are still going.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
actually on there for one of the sessions of 87 for the biggest walleye. So I thought that was kind of neat. And it was Vicky Island and then the further one out. I forget the name of that one.
Indian Island.
Indian Island. Okay. We had both of those swims. I don't know if there's anything additional to that now.
There's Battleship Island as well. That's the third and longest one. That's 4 miles, and it goes into the Boundary Waters, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very few have done it.
Yeah, I did Indian Island. Yeah, it was what, like a mile and a half each way? Or
Somewhere. Oh, sure. Yeah, it's
maybe a
long.
mile each way. It's a good distance, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't think they were doing Battleship back then because that sounds new to me.
There was a long gap where people didn't do Battleship, and then the plaque was actually made after the fact. So I think they had to go through some records and add some names, and then
Oh, wow.
continue it on. And now it's maybe we get one camper swimming to Battleship every 3 or 4 years. So it's
Well, I
pretty
mean,
uncommon.
that's a heck of a feat.
Yeah,
Because I mean,
takes 3 hours
it
is about the fastest someone's
yeah,
done
because
it.
it took me about 2 hours to do the Indian swim.
That's a long swim.
Yeah, we get there. It's like, all right, we're gonna take a break, go pick some blueberries, get some sugar, rest, relax a little bit, and then we'll get cracking again.
Yeah. So you're on several plaques. Where did you catch the walleye?
We were I don't remember exactly where we were. I want to say it was like a quick like 3 day canoe trip out, so it wasn't that far from camp. But just we were right next to a real small little rapids, and
Must have been Quishwee River.
And just threw my line in and got lucky, and it was big enough for the five of us to, you know, have a small fillet each.
Wow.
And it was maybe 4 pounds. You know, not huge, but with other foodstuffs that we brought, it was enough to, you know, have a meal for the night.
Did you fish a lot up there, or is that?
Pretty much every canoe trip, you know, we brought just enough food and then said, all right, you know, start fishing and hope we catch something good. You know, and so it was like, it was roughing it, but, you know, and I'm sure they just told us that, you know, we brought just barely enough. I'm sure they brought more than enough, but, you know, as kids, you gotta fish and catch your dinner and, you know, really sell the experience.
That's right. Yeah. Survival.
But, you know, like, as we, fishing one time, I forget if it wasn't in the war canoe, but we were in a lake that it hadn't seen humans in probably 3 months. And, one of the guys on our trip, he had a lure that had two hooks, and he caught two fish simultaneously.
Wait a minute. Who was that?
I couldn't tell you.
Caught two fish at once?
Yeah, on the same lure, because it had two hooks on it. And he pulls it out of the water, and we see them both hanging there. We're like, what on earth? Oh my goodness, dude, really? Like, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it.
We got to see a picture. I wish we had a picture of that one.
I don't know if even waterproof disposable cameras were a thing yet by then.
There's really not a lot of pictures of the 80s in our archives.
I've got a bunch of some just random campers, a couple of little things around the camp.
You'll have to share that with me. I'd love to.
Yeah,
love to see it.
I need to hook my scanner up. So once I can scan those pictures, I can just upload them to the alumni page. You know, and then that way, if anyone recognizes anyone, they can tag them, or just, you know, hey, I remember this person. You know, because I think it'd be fun to see if anyone else, on the page was there when I was, and hopefully they can say, hey, that's me, or, you know, or, you know, or this was a buddy of mine, or.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because I remember one of the ones, we had our cardboard regatta.
Oh yeah.
And, so we, for that year, our cabin made a tugboat, and, you know, I learned what buoyancy really was. And so we just made sure to put as much, you know, duct tape on this thing as we could possibly put on there to seal it up. And sure enough, it held someone.
It's always a surprise.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other stuff we did. I mean, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, do y'all still do like all the craft stuff, like, you know, wood etching or wood burning? And I remember making a tie-dye shirt.
Oh yeah. Charlie makes the tie-dyes each year, has a whole station
nice.
Going, so he loves doing that. The projects depends on the craft counselor. Sometimes wood burning is the thing, sometimes basket weaving, sometimes friendship bracelets have been popular. It just depends who's leading the show.
Yeah, we there was one thing in the Camp Olympics called the cracker chew. And
we still have
yeah,
that, unfortunately.
Do they still have to whistle Dixie?
Yep.
Yeah, actually I won that event. But I think, like, aside from, the island swims, the one fish, and that's like the only thing that I really excelled at as a camper, as far as all the activities. The rest of the time, I wasn't the worst, but I wasn't the greatest either. But it taught a lot of teamwork. Like, I'd never played Ultimate Frisbee before coming up to camp, or never really did any kind of archery or anything like that. And I mean, that was the first time I'd been that far away from my family. It's like I said, I was living in North Carolina, and then lived in Southern Virginia, and coming all the way up. That was definitely different. But the camp was really great about that. They're like, hey, we recognize that there are going to be some kids that are, having issues, and saying, hey, they might be a little homesick, try and help them out. And it happened to me once, and I remember, like, just getting all caught up in it. And my counselor at the time, we were on a canoe trip, like camping, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh my gosh, I miss home. And he just took me aside and said, hey man, it's okay. I get it. I miss my home too. And you'll get back there, a few days after we get back from this trip, and everything will be fine. So it was nice to be able to turn a little bit of a negative experience around into something more positive. That was always the theme. It's like, hey, we're not going to worry about negative stuff. We're just going to focus on positive. And that's something that I even tell my kids now. I'm like, hey, don't dwell on that. Who gets upset when you think about all these bad things? Me? Exactly. Does anyone else? No. All right, then let's think about something fun. Let's not do that. But yeah, my boys are 11 and 9, so I'm hoping to get them up there for a summer session sometime. I'd love for them to be able to experience that like I did. And right now they're both active in Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and doing that, and they've been doing that for my oldest. He's been in scouting since kindergarten. And my youngin has too. And I think, having a little bit of experience with camping and whatnot, I think would help them have a better time if they were able to come up to a session or two at Voyager.
Oh yeah. The Scouts is a great foundation for camp for sure. They always have a little head start on a lot of the kids when they've been in Scouts.
Plus they both love, water stuff, water activities, kayaking. And I think they've been canoeing once, but anything in the water, say, dude, you can go swimming up there too. I'm sold. Course, I won't tell them about leeches, but because that was a new experience. I remember we were swimming in this little rapids, and I get out, I'm like, what on earth? Oh no, what's this? And relax, man, it's just leeches. It's what? I mean, I grew up on military bases or in the city. Like big city. And I'm like, we don't have leeches where I'm from. What the heck is this? Get it off me.
Oh, they just suck your blood. It's not a big deal.
And of course I was like 10, and I'm like, but it builds character. Of
Of course.
course, at 10, I'm like, character be darned, I don't care. But
Yeah, you're not sure what building character means at 10.
yeah, no, it was so when I was going there, Charlie Senior was still active in the camp, even though John and Deb had taken over operations. He was still around. He'd always hop on the piano in the mess hall and do something. And yeah, it was cool to experience that, with him there too. Yeah, he always was real pleasant and just he wanted to make sure everyone was just having a good time and having fun and learning and growing. And so it was neat to be able to have that perspective, as you know, especially he'd been doing everything up there for so long.
Unfortunately, I never got to meet him, but what was his role at the time? I mean, was he just kind of the entertainer, or was he around a lot, or he just kind of walk in, play piano, have a few wisecracks and leave? Or
I mean, from what I remember, he was not overseeing, but just kind of
the sage man.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know, I got a question. What is it? You know, it's like, I probably heard it. You know, and then a little bit entertaining, and you know, because if we were ever late, it's, you know, tell a joke or sing a song. And you know, if it was the song he knew, he's like, well, here, I'll hop on the piano and play it while you're singing then. So
help you out.
Yeah, it's like, let me be your accompaniment. But that was one thing I loved, and I wish I had begun my journey as a musician before going to Voyager, because I remember there was one guy who was in cabin 9 when I was in cabin 1 who brought a guitar, and for like the camp talent show just pulls this thing out and starts shredding, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's really cool.
Blew everyone's minds.
Yeah, I mean, like, I knew how to play like very minimal piano at that point, and that was it. But you know, if I could take my musical knowledge of, you know, all this time since then and put it in my little 10-year-old self and get back, I think that would have been pretty fun.
Well, hey, if you get back up there someday, you can bring your guitar and play on the stage.
Yes.
Musical acts are always the best for the talent shows. It's tough to beat them, especially when they know how to play.
Yeah, there were three guys, and they sang the Mr. Sandman song, but they also had like sock puppets or something. So it was like the puppets were singing it, but they were doing all the singing for it. And that was one that I remember. That and the Guitar God, those were really the only ones that stick out to me.
Kids are still singing Mr. Sandman up there.
Nice.
I don't know what it is. It's like stuck in the building
at this point. Yeah. I remember one time we were on a canoe trip, and we, you know, of course, put our food pack in a tree. Well, 5 minutes after we put the food pack in a tree, we look up and there's a chipmunk going across the branch and gets down the rope and like goes down into our food pack and starts digging out. So we're like, oh, get the rope down, get that thing. We gotta get this thing out of there.
Didn't close it up good enough or buckle it?
Well, apparently not. Yeah, you know, this little guy was able to squirrel his way in and get right in and start chowing down. And it's like, oh, son of a gun.
Well, I think we've improved the food pack since then. So that's one improvement from the 80s.
Oh, these things looked like straight out of like a World War II movie. Yeah, like just the flat green with, you know, just two straps over the top. And that was pretty much it.
Just a bag with straps.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now we use like a corrugated plastic box that we put the food in, use two liners, and then that goes into a canvas backpack that it fits nicely into. So you have the canvas liners to seal it up, you have the top lid of the box, and then you have the flap of the pack to seal it up. So
what you're saying is the kids now are spoiled. No.
Oh yeah. We're high class.
Hey, you know what? Just because we had it tough doesn't mean they have to. You know, I'm sure camp provides their own unique challenges for all the campers now. And you know, like I said, it's something I really hope I can have my boys experience, because you know, for me it was, I don't have many memories that have stuck around, but the few that I do have are cherished.
I look forward to seeing those pictures and maybe seeing you and the kids up at camp someday.
Oh, I would love it. I would absolutely love it.